Welcome to Soul-Led Living. I'm your host, Nikki Novo. I created this podcast so that you can hear, trust, and follow your intuition. Every week, I drop two episodes packed with intuitive messages that your divine team is dying for you to hear. So get your heart ready to receive exactly whatever it is that you are meant to receive. Let's do this. Upcoming trends that your business is interested in. I kind of love this episode. It was very unexpected, but not too, because I'm definitely feeling the future a lot more lately. It's just becoming more clearly. It's just futuristic. That's the vibe lately. So I'm really excited about this episode. There's just a couple trends. I feel like we can do a few versions of this one episode, like a part one, part two, part three. But we're only going to do a part one today and talk about some trends that will be coming up that your business may want to jump on that bandwagon. I don't think all the trends are going to be for you, but definitely use your intuition. Open up your ears, open up your heart, feel into what is for you. But I want to talk a little bit about what we're going to see coming in the pipeline in business that might be interesting to you. All right, let's get into, we have four. So they're not really messages. Well, I guess they're messages, but four trends. Let's talk about the first trend. Number one, people that can sell well become the new heroes. This is so funny to me, so interesting. This is definitely being led by Gen Z. So I'm a millennial, an elder, but nonetheless a millennial. And you know how, like, I don't know, being able to sell is kind of cringy, and like we try to do it in these like backwards way, even like manipulative ways. Definitely, I think millennials are more interested in marketing than they are into selling, and they try to hide it. But there's definitely going to be a very outward selling right now. Like, obvious that you're being sold to, very QVC, which we've talked about before. Definitely live selling is just going to be just a huge thing in our lives. But what's so funny is that we're going to like these people for the first time, where like before, you know, you kind of like think salespeople are kind of cringy, but this is going to look like a sport. And what's interesting is that selling is different than marketing, I would say. And I feel like most business owners are know about marketing and they're interested in marketing, but they're actually not very good salespeople. And we're going to see sales very differently. And we're going to know that there's a difference between sales and marketing. They're cousins or even twin sisters, but they're different. So we're going to see this almost as like a sport. And I would say that the reason we've seen it a little bit cringy is because it kind of feels like a magic show. And we do not know how the magic happens. We've been gatekept a lot from sales. And now it's really going to be out there, because it seems like almost people teach marketing but they don't teach sales. But now we're going to see people teach sales, or we're going to see it so much that it's going to be really obvious to pick it up. And it is a skill that is really going to take us into wherever we are going in business. It's in your body. It's a presentation. It's almost like me being able to take my energy and transfer it to you for something that I want you to buy, basically. What's important about this trend is perhaps like letting go of your own fear of sales. That is going to be very helpful. There's just an opportunity here. It's just not going to be as cringy as it used to be. Of course, like, it's cringy when it's the wrong crowd, like when I don't want what you're selling. But you can actually like be an athlete in this department, which is going to be interesting. And it feels like it's very much a presentation, like I'm using my whole body, and it's impressive. So maybe if you have a little bit of an interest in sales, or and you want to improve that skill, I would recommend it. Or also, I think that this is going to make a need for salespeople, like for people that can get on camera and sell. So your business might want to look into that, or is there a way to train people to do that for you? Like, do you want to expand your business into that? But this is going to come to the forefront, and it's going to be a really good skill. So my sense is, like, if you already have it a little bit, you can do something with that, with it. Definitely live selling. And also, this is just really going to work. So you might want to like get over your fear of sales, basically. Message number two, the independent agency. Okay, what do I mean by that? I see these like independent contractors or independent coaches, let's say, that form an Avengers team and almost like form an agency together because they all would benefit from working together, but they don't want to have like a business together, or they don't want to have like a hierarchy where there's like a boss and everybody works under them. It makes me feel like I stay within my niche, but I am working and sharing clients with five other experts, and we come together for this. So this feels like, first of all, this is why niching is important. I see this like in the coaching industry. I see this in the, I don't know, what would you call that? Like if I offer a design service, or if I don't know, I specialize in this one thing, I see a teaming up. This has kind of always happened. Like think about attorneys that refer each other, or I don't know, like my hairstylist will probably like refer her facialist to me, or her eyebrow girl, right? Like this has kind of always existed as referrals, but this feels like this is going to come together as collectives, and it's a very interesting way of doing business. It's getting like a team of pros that kind of everybody specializes in this one thing and putting it together. So if you're somebody that you specialize in one thing, definitely looking for your little Avengers team and seeing how it could be a little bit more formalized. That's going to be a great step. I think the message here too might be like, maybe you are running as an agency and you have a lot of employees, like, and you're kind of feeling a lot of pressure from having those employees. Like what would it look like to turn your employees more into an Avenger, and like how can you invest in that, support in that, and like see if maybe they want to go off on their own and want to work differently. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, being employed is just becoming less and less, but working together and collaborating is still important, but it looks like it's more collectives. I think a message here within this trend is also networking, or like groups, like staying together, like seeing where you can share resources. It's kind of like the 2.0 of the shared workspace, but shared workspace used to be like one person owned it and everybody rent from this. Like this feels much more shared. And there might even be like, I don't know, like a person that's like the manager of it, but there's not really like a hierarchy. It's everybody like being in their own niche. And this is just really going to come together. So I feel like if you're in this space, you'll understand. I'm thinking like, okay, like as a, you know, spiritual coach and intuitive, all that, I would see mine more like in the coaching world. Like I might be like, oh, we have this healer that we work with. We have this, this fitness instructor that we work with. We have this astrologer that we work with. Like it almost looks like, or maybe let's say I wanted to do like a transformation program, and I would move them through the different Avengers that I work with. Like that's what this feels like. So I know this is already happening, but I just kind of wanted to put out there, we're going to see this happen even more. Hey friends, if you haven't already heard, I am hosting 2 live events in Miami in March, and I would love for you to be there. The first event is Soul Led Living Live, where you will enjoy a ton of fun activations, an energy shifting workshop with me, and a live group reading with me. There will be a ton of freebies, mini soul readings, and just an overall good time. Message number 3 is about publishing. I know that's like such an old word. I was thinking like, is this content? Is this distribution? But I kept being like, no, this is publishing. Publishing to me, like just to explain like how I was understanding it, is publishing is the distribution of ideas, like how I'm getting ideas across. This one specifically felt about words. Obviously, we know that videos are being distributed and that's how we're spreading ideas in a big way, obviously voice, but this was about words. Number one, the message here was like words are going to work. So those of you who are thinking about words or books and Substacks and that kind of stuff, like, yes, this is going to work, but there is still a lot of innovation here. The reason words are going to work is because there is a need for a break from the video. It's just too much at this point. So actually like words is something people are going to seek. It's kind of like, I've been drinking soda and as much as like I like soda, I actually like need a glass of water. So that's what words are going to really be. It's like, it's the healthy, and your body is is basically wanting that healthy option. So that's why we're going to see words come forward in a big way, but definitely still different. So a few things that I saw like with those trends, I saw small books. Like I almost saw that you might want to consider selling a product. Let's say you want to write books or you're just writing in general. You might consider like a offer that is like a 6-month offer, and every month you get a different book within this like 6-month package. Or you're like selling almost books like a subscription, where like maybe I know I'm writing a book that has 3 phases to it, or it's a trilogy. I'm going to sell the trilogy up front on a subscription model, and then I will drop you the second part of the book, like when it's out, and I'm going to let you know when that is. Like it's almost like you're selling these, it's a subscription model almost in a weird way, but you know that like it's, I mean, not too different than a magazine, right? Like you get a magazine every month, but this is like for books or for topics or for information or even for creative writing. So think about smaller books and think about if you had that one book, that big book that you were thinking about writing, what would it look like to split it up maybe into seasons or something or into months? Like what would that look like? There's going to be a big demand for children reading. And I don't think it's the typical children's book. I just don't think you can do it like the old way or the normal way. There, it feels a little bit more interactive. It feels some of it even nostalgic. Like some of it like might be like a custom book for a type of child, which I know has existed for a long time. But there's something in the children book space for sure. It just can't be like the same way. But there is a need. There's a need for new children's books for sure that's coming forward. For my Substackers or for those of us who are already writing, Substack is not enough is what I'm getting. So you need to be scrappy. It feels like you need to understand that this thing is a product and that it's most, and that it has to be seen as a product. Whether that's like the Substack itself is a product and why would somebody like want to buy into this? Or being like scrappy where I am selling like printed versions of them at my local markets or something. There's something scrappy with the Substackers that like if you just sit back and think like you can write your thing once a week or whatever, like it makes me feel like that's what everybody else is doing. So you want to get ahead of it with being scrappy. I think scrappy to me feels like just to know that there's competition, you know, like knowing that there is competition, what I do. And actually when you tap into your competitive nature, the answer is going to come from there. So like, don't be afraid of your competitive nature. I was actually listening to an investor talk recently about business. And I thought he like explained business so easy, like so simply. He was like, listen, like we want to offer a good product at the best price for the people that want our kind of product. Like we want to be the best price within our market. We want to be the best product within our market. You could tell that he knew he was competing. And he said it like so simply, like it's a good price for the person that wants this product. And like, it's a good product within that market. So there's a knowing that there's a competition. And I know like for us as women, we're always told like, there is enough for everybody, like don't compete. And like, yes, there's truth to that. But when you tap into your competitive nature, that's actually where these like really cool solutions come from. So it doesn't mean that you like hate your competition or you're literally trying to blow them down. But by knowing that you have competition is actually what's, it's not about like being scared, like, oh my gosh, there's so many people that are doing what I'm doing, but more like, ooh, like, okay, like if I was a basketball player and I had all these other basketball players that I was competing against, like how can I get my edge or like what would make me stand out? And there's something like that for the Substackers. So the scrappiness to me is coming from that competitive nature to like know that I am competing. And for a lot of people, competing is fun. Like that's why people play sports. It's like they're having fun with that competition and the shit talking and like the getting better than somebody and like the winning. So like have some fun with that because that's how the, there is so much innovation in publishing. Like there's so much innovation in words that we're going to see over the next few years. But you're only going to catch up on that innovation if you're being a creative thinker And a lot of creative thinking comes from competition. Like that's the beauty of competition. It helps us come up with creative solutions. And then trend number four is entertainment nostalgia. So I feel like I was touching a lot of different industries, but then I felt my creators and those of us who are like making creative content or maybe film or, you know, TikTok videos or whatever. And they were like, well, what about me? And I know that you want to be new and different. Like I get that. But if you do not yet have like a super established brand or you don't have like really your foot in the door yet, nostalgia is going to help. So what I mean by that, if you're like, I am a singer and like I want to get seen and discovered and all that, I would sing things that people are nostalgic about right now. So maybe it's like, I'm going to sing things from the 90s. If I'm a DJ, I'm going to mix 90s music. I had this talk, whatever, like a, it's not, I don't know if it was an interview, it was just a meeting with a book agent recently. And we were talking about like different authors that are doing well within my space. And she was like, you know why that book works? Because so-and-so did that same thing 30 years ago. And she's just repackaging it. And like people like that, that she kind of reminds them of like blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, as a 43-year-old woman, like I don't know who was like in the space 30 years ago. I might, but I didn't know like what that trend was or whatever. And she was like basically pointing out that like most of the people that were doing well were just kind of recreating something that worked well in the past. And that's what this feels like. And I know that this is annoying. I mean, remember when I heard that in the meeting, I was like, oh, well, that's not me. But if you want your foot through the door, like in entertainment, nostalgia is going to be something that gets you there. And then from there, you can do something else. So I think ways of understanding this message or this trend felt to me, again, if I am a singer, I might even like make my appearance look very similar. Like almost like, you know, when Lady Gaga like reminds you so much of Madonna, right? Or maybe not so much now, but when she started, you were like, why, you know, why does this seem familiar? And being able to do some of that, like that's going to get your foot through. Like it's almost like this is a trend where like people feel cozy and comfortable with something that they have seen before. It's not super close. It's like 20 years back or 30 years back. So go into like the eras that you loved, the artists that you loved in the past, and kind of like let yourself go all in, because you might be accidentally picking up a lot of different eras and mixing them together, but that is not as potent as like what's needed here with the nostalgia stuff. This kind of reminds me of like, I don't know, if I was a band, I'd probably like, for now, I would just be like a tribute band to like another band that did really well. And I know nobody wants to hear that because we all want to be original and write our own stuff. But it's about what gets you through the door. And then there's something after that. It's just nostalgia. A cozy nostalgia is just working right now. And it's going to work for a while. True, like newness, unfortunately, is not, or in entertainment, is like not coming for a while. So find the things that have like worked in the past and put your spin on it, or bring nostalgia forward. He's like, that's what's going to work with entertainment. All right, friends, those are our trends for now. There are more, but those were the ones I wanted to come through today. Leave me a comment on Spotify, because that's where I can see your comments on the podcast, and let me know which trend is sticking to you, like which one is actually speaking to me. I haven't sat with these yet because they were just like coming through, but I was like definitely like the publishing one was like calling my name. I'm like, there's something there for me. Also, I'll have to sit with it a little bit. Remember that in the Clarity app, if you guys remember, we have guided worksheets to go with each episode. So sometimes like, you know, I of course love that you guys listen to me, but more will come through in your own intuition when you sit with it. So that's what we made those worksheets for. So if you're not a member, join on over. There is a link below that you can join us in Clarity app. And if you are a member, just remember to use that resource. I know it's kind of a pain to like print it out, but you can even just like open it up and see the questions and let yourself spend a little bit of time with these episodes that are really speaking to you. I think this is one that could use a little bit of extra time to see what's coming through. So leave me a comment, or if you're in Clarity app, leave me a comment there. I'm like really interested to see if like any of these trends are talking to you. All right, friends, sending you love and abundance for your business. Thank you for always being here. I'll see you next time. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you're called to it, please leave me a review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. That is the best way to show your gratitude for this show. And if you want to go deeper with me, check out my app, Clarity. Until next time, much love always.